Come before you now, Father, and we just ask, Lord, that you will just minister your word this morning by your precious Holy Spirit, Father. And Father, I pray that, Lord, as your word goeth forth, Father, that it accomplishes that which you send it forth to do, because you say in your word that it will not return void, but it will accomplish that which you send it forth, Father, to. And Father, I just pray now this morning, Father, Lord, that you will just minister to each and every one of us. May we have hearts that have been prepared, Father. May we have hearts that have been ploughed up and ready to receive the seed of your word this day, Father. That, Father, you may be glorified and magnified through each one of our lives, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. It's a privilege to be able to come and share with you this morning what I believe the Lord would have us to look at today, to exalt God's word before us today. And I'm calling this word this morning, the word prayer and praise. And as we know at this time, so many, many of us are going through trials, tests, tribulations, whatever it is at the moment. And it doesn't make any difference whether that be trials of healing, financial trials, trials within our families, at work, trials with the things and the ways of the world that we have to contend with when we are at work and out in the world. But I believe there is a way that we can overcome all these things. And I think that is through the word, prayer and praise. Hallelujah. And we know that we have much has been said over the last few months about praying in the assembly here. It's been brought up many, many times in the assembly about prayer meetings, the importance of prayer. And I just want to have a look firstly this morning at instances where people have prayed and God has answered their prayer. And praise the Lord, we still serve the same God today as they served all those years ago. Our God has not changed. Our God is the same God today, forevermore. Has been, always will be. So what he could do for those people, he can do for us, because there is no partiality with God. He loves everyone the same, and he wants every one of us to be blessed and walk in his blessings all the time. He does not want us to be held by these things. But praise the Lord, he allows these things for a reason. But I just want to have a look, first of all, at one or two instances where people had prayed and God honoured their prayers. And if you'll turn with me first to Genesis 20, verse 17 to verses 17 to 21. Genesis 20. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Genesis 20, verse 17 through to 21, verse 8. So Abraham prayed and got unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bore children. For the Lord had completely closed all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And the Lord visited Sarah, and he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham's son in his old age, and at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore unto him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, and as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have nursed children? for I have borne a son in my old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And now we see that Abraham, as we've heard many times before, a lot of these scriptures today, you'll know them off the top of your heads, but I believe that it's just something that we should just have a look at today. That Abraham was promised by God that he would give him a son, and that Abraham would be the father of all nations. And so in this process, things had all gone wrong for Abraham. But at this time, when he prayed, the Lord answered his prayer. And the Lord can do exactly the same for us, that when we ask, the Lord can answer our prayers. He can give us what he declares unto us in his word. Because what Abraham was looking at, he was looking at the fact that God had told him that he was going to be the father of all nations. And at that time, God had not almost honored that promise, because he hadn't had a son to bring forth children and make a great nation of. But Abraham held on to God's promise in the word that he'd given him, that he would make him the father of all nations. And he kept holding on to that promise, the same as we can hold on to that promise in the word of what God has promised us in the word that he will do for us. All the things that he will do for us, he will give us healing, he will give us finances, he will give us lands and houses, and whatever it is, he will give it according to his word. And as Abraham had held on to the promises of God here, God honored his word, but Abraham had to stick by it. And I think, speaking for myself, that I think that very often we ask God for things and we don't hold on to it. We let it slip, we let it go by, and we get back into condemnation, depression, whatever it is, whereas we should be holding on to the promise, which Abraham had done all that time. He'd held on to that promise. And even after then, as we know, when God told him to sacrifice his own son, he knew that God would raise that son up. Even if he was sacrificed, he would raise him up because of the promise that Abraham was given by God in Genesis, I think it was Genesis 13, that God gave him the promise. So we can see that if we hold on to the word that God gives us, he will bring it to fruition at some time or other. Let's just have a look at another portion of scripture in 1 Samuel 1, verses 9 to 20. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. 1 Samuel 1, 9 to 20. And this is another portion of scripture that we know very well, of Hannah, who was childless. And we'll just read through this. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow, and said unto the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaiden, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaiden, but wilt give unto thy handmaiden a male child, then I will give him unto thee. I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli observed her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be intoxicated? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaiden as a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I been speaking. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked him. And she said, Let thine handmaiden find grace in the sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was sad no more. And they rose up in the morning early, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to the house of Ramoth. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, she bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked of the Lord. So there we see again that there was such a desire in Hannah's heart to have a son, and again through prayer, through coming to the Lord in prayer and really pouring out her heart to the Lord answered her request. And I believe that the Lord can do exactly the same for us, that if we come and pour out our hearts to him. Because so very often, and as again I can only speak for myself, but so very often that we do come in prayer to the Lord, and sometimes we're not in that right place. We don't come with the right heart and attitude. But if we come and really pour out our soul like Jesus did, if we remember, what did Jesus do in the garden? The battle of the cross was not won on the cross at Calvary. The battle of the cross was won in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he poured out his soul, when he was so sorrowful in the garden, and the disciples even slept while he was doing that. But praise the Lord, if we pour out our soul, I believe that the Lord again will answer our prayers. And here, this was a personal request that Hannah had, and the Lord answered her request. And that's the same for us, that in our personal requests that we have, our desires and whatever, we can, and God will answer if we really get down to prayer and ask the Lord, you know, to provide whatever it is for that time, for that need that we have, or for that desire that we have, because he does promise us that he will give us the desires of our hearts. So there we see a couple of instances where the Lord has been faithful in answering prayer. For one, because one had the word, they were given the word first of all, and they believed the word, and they were standing in faith for what they had been given by God in the Abrahamic covenant. And the second was a personal request from Hannah to have a son. And that is the same for us, that we can stand and look upon the promises of the word, and we can pray and believe that God will answer them, and he will answer them. You know, we may not see it at this moment in time, but God will answer those promises, because all his promises are yea and amen in him. Praise the Lord. So no matter what the situation is, then, you know, God can deal and give us those desires of our hearts if they're according to the word, as Abraham had. Another portion of scripture that we can look at is 1 Kings 6. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you. 1 Kings chapter 6. Sorry, that's 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. And here again is another portion of scripture that we know so well. This is Elisha and the Assyrians going to war against Israel. And we'll just read this. Then the king of Assyria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent out the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not through such a place, for there the Assyrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him, and warned him, and saved him there, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was very troubled for this thing, and he called his servants, and said unto them, will ye not show which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy out where he is, and that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he their horses and chariots, and a great host, and that they came by night and compassed about the city. And when the servant of the man of God rose early, and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both the horses and chariots. And the servants said unto him, alas, my master, what shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they who are with us are more than they who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Israel. So praise the Lord. There's the Lord's deliverance of Israel there from the Assyrians, all through Elisha's prayer. What the servant saw with his eyes was absolutely correct. He saw all those chariots and what have you. But he was not in the place where Elijah was, a man of faith. Elijah was a vast man of faith, and he knew that God was bigger and could deal with any of those situations that came upon Israel. He knew that God could deal with the Assyrians to destroy them and protect Israel because of his faith in his God. And once he prayed, and the young man could see that God had put a hedge around about Israel. And that's exactly the same as he can do for us, that when we fall into these things, when we feel that we are being totally surrounded by the devil, when the devil is trying to have a go, or is having a go and taking hold of us, then we can ask the Lord to protect us and put that hedge about us, and deal with that situation, that the Lord will be glorified and magnified through that. Praise the Lord. But we have to be willing to sacrifice something for that. We have to be willing to get into prayer. We have to be willing to get into the Word. Because this is why I said the Word, prayer and praise is the key, I believe, to this overcoming of these things. That if we seek the Word, if we ask the Lord about these things, and if we praise Him for what He does for us and what He keeps us from, we will have the deliverance. We will have the victory in these things. If we turn now to 2 Chronicles 20. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 to 25. Two Chronicles 20 verses 1 to 25, and this is the invasion by the Moabites, Amorites and Edomites against Judah. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab the children of Ammon and with some of the Amorites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some who told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Assyria, and behold, they are in Hazaron Tamar, which is Engedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask him help of the Lord. Even out of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not the God of heaven, and rulest not thou over all kingdoms and nations? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou the God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend for ever? And they dwelt in it, and have built it in it a sanctuary for thy name, saying, If when evil comes upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help us. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given to us to inherit. For our God, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great army, a great company, which cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And all Judah stood before the Lord, and their little ones and wives and children. Then upon Jezreel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeriel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the son of Asa, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken, ye all, Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the king of Jehoshaphat, and thou, king of Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the valley before the wilderness of Jehul. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, ye stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Jerusalem and Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohaths and the children of the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophet, so ye shall prosper." And when they had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, who should praise the beauty of his holiness as he went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set an ambush against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy one another, And when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoils from them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off them more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering up the spoils. And I think that portion of scripture there completely portrays what I believe the Lord is saying to us today through the word, prayer and praise. Because if we just go back through that that portion of scripture, in verse 3 it says, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all Judah." Well, to set yourself to seek the Lord is to set yourself into the Word, because Jesus is the Word. And the same thing can be said of us, that when we come to these trials and what have you, what we have to go through or are going through, because Jesus did not tell us that this was an easy life, but he said, "With much trial and tribulation you will enter into the kingdom of heaven." So praise the Lord, we will be continually tried and tested, I think, until the Lord returns. But here we see that Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord. And I think that's a principle for us, that we should set ourselves in these times of trouble to seek the Word and see what the Lord is actually saying to us in our trial. Why are we going through that trial? Why is he allowing us to be buffeted by the enemy? Because although God is allowing it, it's not God who's buffeting us, but he's allowing Satan to buffet us. And why is he doing it? We should seek ourselves to find out what is actually happening, and we can only do that through the Word, because God reveals to us through his Word. And then it says in verse 4, "And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah, and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court." And there, I believe that is where they sought the Lord in prayer, after Jehoshaphat had actually sought the Lord through his word, through his covenant with his people, because he mentions that later on in this portion of scripture about the covenant of the land that was given to Abraham. Then I believe they gathered themselves together to ask the Lord. That is in prayer, and they proclaimed a fast. And sometimes that is how that have to be with us, that we have to go into prayer and go into fasting, that the Lord will give us the answer. And I believe that this is a great pointer for us as a body of Jesus Christ, that he says they gathered themselves together. I believe that is very important, that the children of God do gather themselves together in prayer as a body. I know that sometimes it is not always practical, but I believe that there is a great release on God's people when they can pray together. Because the more of us praying together helps one another. I think this is what the Acts Church really spoke of in the early days, when that said that the Acts Church came together daily in prayer, in the Word, in breaking of bread. And I believe that that is the key to overcoming life in this world. When we're on our own, I know that, and I'm not taking anything away from God, because nothing is impossible with God. But it is so much more difficult in this world, in this day and age, to be on your own and do and live as God wants you to live on your own in this world. Whereas if you can come together like we are today, or praise the Lord, we've got the internet now, so we can meet together and come together in prayer meetings on the internet. It is a great encouragement to us all, because each one of us have a role to play. We all help one another in these situations. And I know that, I think my wife Janet can say, and I can say, that we have been mightily blessed since we've had the prayer meetings online on a Thursday night. But I know that's not all practical. That's not practical for everybody. But praise the Lord, He will honour your faith and your requests. And if we go on, in verse 9, he says, "If then evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto you, unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear us." And I believe that is it. As we pray to the Lord and make our petitions to God, He will hear us. He will answer our prayers in whatever it is that we ask Him. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And then if we go down to verse 15, it says, "And he said, Hearken ye all Judah unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the king of Jehoshaphat. Thus said the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." Amen. Praise the Lord. So in whatever we go through, no matter what it is, if we come to Him in the right heart, the right attitude, making our petitions known, God will answer us, because at the end of the day, praise the Lord, He's in control. The battle is His, not ours, and He will bring the victory. He may not bring it exactly when we think we want it, because that's very often how He deals with our hearts and attitudes to things. Because at the end of the day, every time we prayed, if He give us the answer there and then, we would just use Him like a spiritual Santa Claus. But praise the Lord, He will bring the answer in His time. Hallelujah. So we mustn't be discouraged. We mustn't be dismayed if we don't get the answer right away. And praise the Lord, I know that the Lord is doing a lot with a lot of us at this time. But, you know, we don't see the answer right away. But praise the Lord, we know in our hearts that we have got the victory, because God is a man, God is not a man that He should lie. What God says in His word, He will do, because He is faithful. Hallelujah. And then after then, if we go over to verse 19, and the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And I think that is another key to obtaining the victory, that if we go to the Lord via the word in prayer, and then after we've been in prayer, if we praise the Lord for what He has done for us, if we praise Him for the victory that He has got for us, even though we cannot see that victory, but we praise Him in faith, because we know that He is faithful to do it. He will bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. And then right at the end, just going right to the end of that, when God had wrought the victory, down at the end it says, "And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoils from them, they found among them an abundance of riches and with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off themselves and for themselves, and more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoils. It was so much." And that, I believe, is speaking of God's abundance to us. If we go to Him in the right heart, right attitude, through the word, as I say, in prayer, and praise Him for what He's done, we see the blessing. And the blessing is not just something little there, it is an abundance of blessing that we get from him. If, you know, through us going to him in the right way, the right heart, right attitude, he will give us an abundance of blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But praise, I believe, is a very important part in all of our lives. You know, we must continue to praise him for what he's done for us. We must continue to praise him for, especially not for what he's done for us, but for the things that he hasn't allowed us to fall into. You know, us who praise the Lord, I can say that I've had a very blessed life as regards to illness. I have had very, very little illness in my life. And that is one of the things that, all right, I shouldn't take that for granted. I should praise the Lord. And we, for the things that the Lord don't allow us to get into or have to go through, we should praise him for them. Praise the Lord for what he has done for us in keeping us from those things. It is very important, I believe, because we can so easily just take things for granted and not thank the Lord enough for what he does, what he keeps us from. And I now praise the Lord that there is some of my brothers and sisters are going through tremendous trials at the moment, you know, and they're still praising the Lord in their trials that they're going through. But we not only have to praise the Lord for what he's done for us, but what he keeps us from at this time, because there is much that we can be entrapped in this day. You know, we're so thankful that you know, we don't get into things like drugs and alcohol and all this sort of thing. You know, the Lord keeps us from them things. All right, praise the Lord, we might have a drink at odd times, but the Lord does not allow us to get into that place where we become drug addicts and alcoholics and whatever. So we should praise the Lord for that. You know, Psalm 63, in Psalm 63 verse 3, that says, because of thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. And in verse 5, that says, my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. With joyful lips. We should be joyful before the Lord. You know, in whatever it is we're going through, in whatever situation it is, however much we're under battle with the enemy, but we should rejoice in our God, because we know that our God is the God of our salvation. He has brought us from that place where we were against him to a place now where he has put us and seated us with him now, even now at this time in these heavenly places. We are there. And as you know, I know we're still in the world, as Jesus said, that you are still in the world, but you are not of the world. And praise the Lord that he has brought us from that place where we were destitute, alienated from God, and now he has brought us to this place where we can abundantly praise him for what he has done for us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As we know, also another scripture that we know, Hebrews 13, that says that by him let us offer a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that say. Continually. Not when we feel like it, which, you know, very often, I can only speak for myself, happens. But we are to offer that sacrifice of praise continually unto God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God, giving thanks to his name. Hallelujah. And if we just go over now into the New Testament, Acts 16. Acts 16, 25-29. Another portion of scripture that we know well. This is of Paul and Silas when they were forbidden to teach. And we know that they had cast out this demon from this girl, and that therefore meant that her, the person who controlled her, was not, could no longer make great money from her, from a spirit of divination. And Paul and Silas were arrested, and they were cast, after they were beaten, they were cast into prison. And this is the most, I find this very amazing, that I don't know whether I could actually go through this myself, that they could then, in prison, praise the Lord, pray and praise the Lord, that they had been beaten like they had and thrown into prison. And it says here, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, drew his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must we do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house also." What a testimony for the trials, the situation that they'd been through in that God could use them through their prayers and their praise to even bring somebody to himself. I think that's absolutely tremendous, that God can use a situation like that, because I think that if I'd gone through what they've gone through, I don't think I would have been feeling like praying and praising the Lord at midnight. You know, I know that's very often difficult to praise and praise the Lord during the day sometimes, so without being at midnight. But praise the Lord, their heart and attitude for God was so much that they were in the Spirit constantly, I believe. I believe that was one of the keys to Paul's ministry, was that he was perpetually in the Spirit. And when you're in the Spirit, these things have little consequence to us. When you're in the Spirit, you have a full love for Jesus, and all you want to do is communicate with him and praise him for what he's done. And I believe that this is what the heart and attitude of Paul and Silas were here. They praised the Lord for what they had been allowed to go through that day. They counted it a privilege to go through that for their Lord. You know, and I think that's an absolute tremendous testimony of what the Lord has done, you've done through Paul and Silas at that time, to be able to just praise the Lord in their hour of what they'd gone through. Hallelujah. I believe that's always, we are to always try and be in the Spirit, praying and praising the Lord at all times. And finally, I'd just like to have a look at Romans 8 verses 35 and 36. Romans 8. Romans 8, 35 and 36. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Saviour." Praise the Lord. That is such a comfort. And this is why I believe that God says the word, prayer and praise. Because the word gives us a comfort in our times of trials, testings, tribulations, whatever it is we go through, because we know the word tells us that we shall not be separated from the love of God. His love is there for us, looking after us all the time. Praise the Lord, he is using the enemy at times to perfect us, because that's actually what he's doing. He's perfecting our lives and bringing us to that to the image of his son. But in all that perfecting, all that work that he is doing with us, he's never leave us, he never forsake us. His love is forever there with us. He'll never let us go through anything that we're not able to endure at that time, praise the Lord. You know, so we have a faithful God that we can continually look to. But that is the key, that we must look to God, not look to the thing that we're going through, because the minute we look to that, depression comes in, all these problems come in, we become downcast, we lose our heart, and just fail. Whereas if we go to the Word, if we seek the Word, seek what the Lord says, pray about it, praise the Lord for it, he will bring the victory. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in Jesus' precious name, Father, we just thank you for your Word this morning, Father. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that you will put upon each one of our hearts, Father, that desire to seek your Word, to pray and to praise you, Father, in our times of trials and tribulations, Father. Father, I know that you are able to do this more than we think you can, Father, because your Word declares that there is nothing impossible with you, Father. And Father, I just ask, Lord, that you will abundantly bless this Word to our hearts this day, Father, and that you will bring it to fruition in our lives, Father, that you will be glorified and magnified through this Word this day, Father, in Jesus' name.